And it's also able to multiply our time. As Jesus picked the 12 disciples, amen, it was to multiply his efforts. And he would instill and depart within their lives to be able to redeem time and to make the most out of every opportunity. I don't know about you, but if you were something like me, you wasted a lot of time when you were lost and bound in the things of the world. We've wasted many years. And here this morning, I want to speak on the area of redeeming the time through discipleship. There's going to be a revelation in the Word this day for you. Amen. When I was lost and bound, and I was connecting with people incorrectly, it allowed me to lose a lot of time within my life. I was connecting with people, but I was a disciple of the enemy. And as I would connect with people, doing things the wrong way, being a disciple of the enemy, it gradually grew to everything he told me to do, I did. I was a true disciple of darkness. And as I connected with people because I was doing it for the work of darkness and not for the Lord, I lost a lot of years within my life. And not only did I lose a lot of years in my life, but my mom and dad, with all the problems I gave them, because the Bible says no man is an island to himself. We're all connected to somebody, whether you like it or not. She's your daughter, he's your son. That's your husband, that's your wife, and I am your pastor. Whether you like it or not, we here this morning are connected to one another. And that is biblical, Pastor Jamie would say. Because the Bible says we are the many parts that make up the body of Christ. That we're joined, tightly joined with one another. We're connected. And not only did me connecting with people incorrectly take years out of my life, but it took years out of my mom's life and my dad's life for spending the time in dealing with me. They lost time. Is anybody losing time here as I speak this morning? Could it possibly be some things that you are doing that is not correct, that is allowing you to lose time when we're living in the end times? Discipleship multiplies our efforts and our time so that we may be able to redeem the time that has been lost. As we go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, this morning, I want to speak to you this morning about redeeming the time and how you can get that lost time back. I'm going to read from 15 through verse 17. Apostle Paul speaking. Verse 15 opens up with, be very careful. In other words, there were people that weren't being careful within this area on how they were utilizing their time. Be very careful, then, how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. How many say that is the truth? Amen? Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and honor I put aside here this day. Holy Spirit, I ask that you speak, that you move, that you touch, deliver, that you redeem the time here this morning within the hour we have to work with, that you redeem years and years through this hour. Lord, as your word is being preached, in your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Here the Bible is giving two sides to a coin of being unwise and wise in how we live. If you live, you're doing time. Amen? The time is ticking right now. I got up this morning at 5 in the morning. It is no longer 5, but 11:15 now. As I'm living, time is ticking. And time does not go backwards, it goes forward. So here the Bible tells us to be careful how we live, how we spend our time, as unwise or as wise. The Bible says to make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Just lately, I've been dealing with the most craziest things that one could ever imagine. That 5-10 years ago, I would never fathom that I would deal with these areas. And the truth is that the days are evil and getting more evil. Things are taking place now that weren't taking place just a few years ago. So we need to be careful then in how we live. Not as unwise, but as wise. And how we use our time. The Bible then goes on to say, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. If you want to reach a place within your life to understand the will of the Lord, you're going to not only have to use your time wisely, but use your time in the things of Jesus. I know a lot of people that go to work and pay their bills and are doing very unwise things. The bills are all paid, but they're still very unwise. Because their time is being spent at the job place, in the bed, and eating, and at the job place. Eating, and at the bed, and at the job place. Eating, and at the bed. If we're going to know what God's perfect will is, we're going to have to spend time with Jesus. Because when we first started off, BC, before Christ, we were all very unwise. Sin makes people very unwise. Using your time incorrectly makes people very unwise. How many know as we live, we can either spend our time unwise or wise, I put here. I once again say what I've already said. How many spent their time unwise when we were in the world in bondage? The Bible, another scripture says, what good came forth from it? I believe Paul's warning was saying to the church, as I am speaking to the church here this morning, that you can now be saved and still use time unwisely. Just because you're saved, you've been delivered from addiction. You don't club no more. You're not drinking no more. Does not make you a wise man, a wise woman, a wise youth member. I always say devil worshipers go to work and pay their bills. Some of them don't get off on clubs, amen? They allow their brother and sister evil spirits to do that work in the club. They got to go to work the next day. How many know going the wrong way takes up time? Doing the wrong things take up time. Amen? Very simple message here this morning. Going the wrong way, doing the wrong things take up time. The Greek word for the word sin, one of the meanings is missing the mark. Missing the mark. Being off. Going the wrong way in Christ. You could possibly be sitting here this Sunday morning, saved, and missing the mark, which is sin. The Bible says, to he who knows what is right and does not do it, to him is accounted forth as sin. And some of us, through ignorance, not knowing better, are missing the mark. But you're not held accountable here this morning. But for those that know what God has called you to do, that know your gifts, that are to edify, strengthen the body of Christ, and not using your gifts, the Bible calls it sin. Even though you don't party no more, and you've been delivered. How many have ever, I put here, this is just me thinking, have ever taken a long trip, and along the way, you take a wrong exit. And you don't realize it. You don't realize it until the sign starts looking weird and the place you're going to, Oklahoma, hasn't been mentioned in the last hour or two. And you kind of look at the person driving with you, but you don't want to admit that you're wrong, so you keep on driving. Because there's just no way you could be wrong. Because you've gone there 10 times already. You don't have to be told by your wife where to go. You got this. And finally, you wait for that person to go to sleep, to put your blinker, to exit off, and you were going north, now you got to go south. Because you got to get back to the right road that's going to take you to the destination you were headed towards. And there's some times in Christ that we're able, if we're not careful, of redeeming the time that we can take the wrong exit if we're not careful. And in taking the wrong exit, you'll lose time in that trip that should have took 10 hours, now it's going to take you 12 hours. You're going to have to eat some humble humility pie. Go through all kinds of changes because you, ma, was wrong. The good news for signs on the freeway is that if you make that correction, that change, even though you lost some time, you can get back on track. And it's the same things in the Lord. There's times that we can take an exit that we shouldn't have taken. It wasn't one of partying. It wasn't one of the opposite sex. It was an exit that we felt in our spirit that was the right exit to take. But time has gone on, and time has gone on, and no fruit has come from that exit. I tell you, my friend, put the blinker on, humble yourself, turn going up the other way up the freeway, and get back to where God has called you to be at. You see, it's in those times where we take the wrong exit. It don't add time. It takes time away. It adds time to what we've been trying to accomplish. Question: when you get lost, did you gain time or lose time? I put here, the enemy is so good in allowing us to think that we're making up lost time when we take that incorrect exit. He comes as an angel of light, and he's so good to say, take the turn, this is the one. This is the one. Can't you feel it? Everyone else is looking like, why did she take that exit? And the enemy's real crafty. And coming in and saying, man, this exit's going to redeem all the time you've lost. Watch. You wait and watch. The enemy's so good with all the temptations that are out there right now to detour us. Temptation, when you take on to temptation, it takes your time. The enemy's so good, he just don't have crack houses and bars out there that he works through. He works through the malls. How many know if you're spending too much time at the mall, you're wasting time? That's not redeeming the time. No matter how much you need, what you swear up and down that you need. Got 10 pairs of shoes already. Be done with it. You got one to match the rainbow, a pair of shoes to match the rainbow on a daily basis. It's no longer just brown and black. It matches every color of the rainbow. She's got to have them. Beginning, you were just happy when you got saved that you had shoes on your feet. Now you want shoes of every color to match the rainbow, because everybody's looking at your shoes. I said, if you were like me, the few hours of being lost on a Friday night, sneaking out the window, those few hours of being lost, on a Friday night, doing drugs became a lifestyle of 24/7. Who'd have ever thought going out and doing a little dope on a Friday night would become a 24/7 practice that would not just take my time, but all of my time, all of my life? The Bible says, be very careful then how you live. Made a mistake, I partied, and it became a lifestyle. I wasted my life away. I thank the Lord here this morning for the grace and mercies of our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's a good place to give him a clap offering, amen. Became a lifestyle 24/7. What we as Christians called lost and bound. I became lost and bound by a few hours that I gave to the enemy. In John 10:10, very familiar scripture, the Bible says the thief, the enemy, amen, comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and life to the full. I put here, the enemy does not only come to steal, kill, and destroy behind drug addiction. That's not his only method that he uses. But I put here, remember, he's a thief. And what does a thief do? Steals. He steals. A thief steals. Amen? A thief steals. A thief is really willing to kill he has to steal what he wants to steal. A thief is willing to destroy a family. if he's given access. But I believe as a thief that he also comes to steal, kill, and destroy our time with Jesus. That's the work of the enemy. Addiction is just one of the areas that he uses in getting that job done. He uses the opposite sex. He uses money. He uses education. He uses a lot of things to enter as a thief into your life, into the church, to steal, kill, and destroy your time that should be spent with Jesus. I put here, from getting involved with the church, to be a true disciple, an end-time disciple, to become a discipler, you need to spend your time correctly. You need to spend time with Jesus to become a discipler. You don't have to spend time with Jesus to become a disciple. In 1 Peter chapter 1, I ask you here this beautiful Sunday morning, have you been spending time with Jesus? You know the answer. You can lie before me, but you can't lie before the presence of the Lord. And if you haven't been spending time with Jesus, you have allowed the enemy to come in to steal, kill, and destroy, making the most of every opportunity to spend time with Jesus. Too many times we take lightly our salvation, like if it was owed to us, like if it was owed to us or something. The Bible in 1 Peter 1, 18 through 19 says, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Go to back 18, please. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold. One of the Greek meanings for the word redeem means to purchase. Amen? Means to purchase. Jesus redeemed us by the way of the cross, by the shedding of his blood. He purchased us. The Bible says that we do not belong to ourselves, but that we belong to Jesus, that purchased us through his precious blood, through his life. We need to know this morning that before Jesus purchased us, he could have purchased us with silver and gold, things that are perishable. But the Bible says that he didn't purchase us with silver and gold, but through his precious blood. Amen. But through his precious blood, I said. Amen. We need to know this morning that before Jesus purchased us, there was a sacrifice that needed to be made. And that sacrifice was his life. Too many still counting on silver and gold, things that are perishable, to get you straight, to get you back on track. Before Jesus purchased us, he became the ultimate sacrifice for your life and my life. Before any purchase, a sacrifice takes place. And the problem of the church today is that nobody wants to sacrifice anymore. If you speak to somebody just a little bit incorrectly, they want to go full bore once again and give their lives over and bodies over to the work of the enemy. Did you hear the way Pastor spoke to me? I'll show him. Too many still counting on silver and gold, things that are perishable, to save you in the condition you're in right now, to allow your purpose to be brought forth. Man, Pastor, if I only had the money, man, I would give it all to you. No, you wouldn't. You're not even tithing with your minimum paying job, and how are you going to give when you hit it big? Pastor, I got you. We need to know this morning that before Jesus purchased us, there was an ultimate sacrifice of his life. He asked the Father, can we do this some other way? These people are all jacked up, man. All messed up. Father, come on, look. Smell. All messed up. Too many counting on silver and gold still. I'm in three big scenarios right now. It's not about cars. It's not about money. It's not that somebody ran over somebody's dog. Why these three scenarios, the type of people are mad at me right now. It all deals with silver and gold. Silver and gold. I have lost the purpose of the church in winning souls over for Jesus. Winning souls for Jesus calls for sacrifice. Especially working with the people that we work with. And we should know it well, for we were once at that place. We were once the unworkable, unteachable, would never amount to nothing. But there was a sacrifice that took place at the cross of Calvary. A blood that was shed. It wasn't the blood of animals that would cover the sins of ours, but a blood that was able to wash away our sins and to allow us to redeem the time through being disciples and working out discipleship in the church, redeeming the time through discipleship making. In Acts 3, verse 6 to 10, real familiar portion of scriptures. Here's where there was that crippled man from birth. I believe at this point he was 38 years old from birth. Peter and John walk up on the scene. Remember, this is the book of Acts. We're out of the Gospels now. We're in the book of Acts. They've been empowered. They're making the most out of every opportunity. They're using their time to do the call of God that the Lord put upon their lives to fulfill it. Then Peter said, silver and gold do not have. I do not have. But what I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus. Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him up by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple as we are this morning. Court, walking and jumping. That's a tough one. He was just walking and jumping, amen? He was walking and jumping. Bible says walking and jumping. walking and jumping. He was walking and jumping. He'd been down for 38 long years. He's now walking and jumping at the same time. Walking and jumping, the Bible says. I'm biblically correct here this day. Or he could have been walking and jumping. Walking and jumping. For some of you that want to go by that translation, amen? Either one is correct. He was walking and jumping. And praising God. Who's been delivered here in the temple courts here this morning by Jesus Christ, the blood that was shed. It wasn't silver and gold that brought you here this morning. It was the blood of Jesus. It was the Spirit of Jesus. Do I got some jumpers in the house? Do I got some praisers in the house? Get up and praise the Lord. And praise the Lord. Do we got some delivered people in the house of God? You better get to walking and jumping. You better get to praising. Because what the Lord has done in your life, in my life, is a miracle. It's a miracle. It wasn't silver and gold that has made us walk with Jesus, to pick up our cross and follow Jesus, as Pedro said. He was nervous when he was up here. But if you would have been there when he entered the men's home, he couldn't sweep up. He didn't know what a broom was. Didn't know what a broom was. I giggle because I remember what it is to feel nervous. And I told Jamie, Pedro called us Victor Outreach Milwaukee International. It sounded good when I heard it. Praise the Lord. Man, that's a new one there. I like it. This guy could have been mad. He could have got up and started jumping and walking in somebody's face for never doing nothing about his condition. But he followed the man of God back into the temple courts. He had been forgiven. He had been healed. And allowed him to walk in such a way where he couldn't just walk. He had to jump when he was walking. Or walking and then jumping. Amen. Too many people just coming to church nowadays. Man, you guys are just too cool now. Just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord been good to me. Praise the Lord. All is good. All is well. All is good. All is well. No, it's not. All is not good and all is not well. It's the exact opposite. All is not good and all is not well. So we got to get up. We got to get to the rally. And we got to get to those cripples that are out there without Jesus. Yes. Amen. We can't forget that we were crippled at one time. Amen. But too many times we take a wrong exit. And because we don't want to humble ourselves to the realization that we've been wrong. I will say it's okay to be wrong when you're wrong in Jesus. I said, I put here, I thank the Lord. I always say I don't have a penny to my name in the bank. Don't you hear me say all that? It's not a sales pitch. It's a truth. 20 years saved, 15 years in Milwaukee, to present day, I have not a penny in the bank. But you know, when I know this story well. Man, when I was putting, man, I had to drop the pen. I was all broken before the Lord. I got cameras all over the properties. I was wondering if anybody had a camera on me, man. I was tweaking in Jesus. And all of a sudden, I felt like Peter. I had a courage and a boldness in me that said, silver and gold, I have none. But I do have Jesus to offer here this Sunday morning. It's not found in the silver and gold. It's found in a life spent with Jesus that allows us to offer Jesus in our life groups, in our discipleship making. We need to offer Jesus. I put here, is your redeemed life bringing praise from you? Have you jumped around lately, man, in awe of what the Lord has done and what he's still stirring that's still left to be done within your life? I'm still radical, baby, 20 years later. Because I know it was the blood. It wasn't silver and gold. The mafia, I would have got my deliverance in the mob then. It didn't happen. It happened in a 6x8 cell in prison where Jesus entered my life, where he picked me, he chose me to do what I'm doing here today. I have a point here, simple ones the Lord gave me. I put here, you don't need money to have Jesus. Too many of y'all still after that silver and gold. For you can have Jesus, where everybody can see you that you have Jesus. And silver and gold, the opposite of that is silver and gold don't mean you have Jesus. You don't need money to have Jesus. Don't need a car. Where's Jason this morning? The children? Praise the Lord, I can talk about them. I rebuked him a couple of weeks ago. Because now he got a car. But for 5-6 years, he used the bus to go to work. He used the bus to go everywhere. He brought so many people to the church when he was taking the bus. But I'd be darned, when he got that car, the praise report stopped. I said, you know what, Jason? I liked you better when you didn't have a car. And being the good disciple, yes, his head went down and he was just like feeling ashamed, condemned, all of the above. He looked up at me and says, man, pastor. You know, if you know Jay, he goes, what do you want me to do? I felt like telling him, give me your car. I ain't got a car right now, amen? I wrecked mine. But he got so much done without a car, more than he did when he got the car. He was taking Jesus all through the bus system everywhere he went. He had flyers with him all the time. Sister Sylvia is here present. That's another go-getter. She's a quiet person in the church. Yeah, Sylvia. Sylvia's so quiet. She's like a crack addict. She says, Pastor, you got any flyers? Got any flyers? She comes real humble to my office saying, you got any flyers? Well, we've been running scares with the flyer department lately, amen. So I've been giving her less of a pinch every time she comes and asks for flyers. So we didn't have none, but we got a brand new box yesterday, amen. Yeah. We got flyers now we can hand to the dogs and the cats, and amen, let them carry them off, amen. Got any flyers? There's some questions that I love, and there's some I'm just like, what? Sylvia always comes as a pastor. Can I ask you something? I say, yes, Sister Sylvia, go ahead. Got any flyers? A new person comes. I say, Who got you to the church? Who invited you? Oh, it's a sister, a black sister. Sylvia? Yeah, Sylvia. Don't have a car. Very simple lady. Don't care to be acknowledged. But man, Sylvia, the Lord acknowledges you for everything you do, every flyer that you give from your heart. Ooh. represents souls. It represents souls, not silver and gold, but souls. Jesus seen every flyer you found out. You would think she ain't a good fisherman, but man, she brings people to church. There's a sister standing, sitting right before her right now that's been coming ever since. She got a flyer from Sylvia. I put here, I didn't come to Milwaukee 15 years ago with silver and gold. I didn't come 15 years ago to Milwaukee with silver and gold. I was Peter. Silver and gold, I have none. I says, I came to the city as a very immature pastor with a big Jesus provider within my life. I may have not come with money, but I put, but oh, how I have sacrificed. But oh, how I have sacrificed the 15 years here for each and every one of you all. To make it behind this pulpit is sometimes is very hard. To be there for the lost and bound that the Lord has placed in my heart. But how I have sacrificed my wife, my family. Little Alec taking a time out right now, but he sacrificed a lot. That's why he's my son, and I love him and I respect him. He sacrificed when there was nobody. He continued to sacrifice even when there was somebody. We need to sacrifice. We need to become that sacrifice of the church. I said, Jesus is still calling for sacrifice. Before we make the purchase this day, somebody that come to the home or church, there needs to be a sacrifice. There needs to be time spent wisely, not unwisely, but time spent wisely at the rally today. Amen? That calls for sacrifice. I get high. I get off on it. Amen? My wife would say, don't say it like that. I say it like that till Jesus comes back. I really get high at the rallies. Sometimes I want to act like the senior pastor and I walk around and get by a tree and look. I can do that just for so long and I start looking around and I get all up in there, man. Because when I see people, I see me. That should have never made it. Just to breathe, more or less, to be a senior pastor now of the work that's taking place here in Milwaukee. How are you spending your time? How are you spending your time? Are you spending time at the church? Are you involved? Because you're needed. Your gifts within you are needed. And we're going to fill these red chairs and the balcony, which don't represent a packed out church, but represent a packed out church of souls that were once lost.